Hello and welcome to Technofunda Investing Podcast Series. This is fourth episode in our series Achieving Financial Freedom with Technofunda Investing Process. I am Vivek Mashrani, your host, and you can follow me on my Twitter handle @MashraniVivek or visit my website vivekmashrani.com. We have our special guest today, Manoj Arora, who is a very good serial author. He has written 5 books so far, and one of his bestseller book is From Rat Race to Financial Freedom, and that is the reason I've got him here to discuss about his views and wisdom and knowledge around financial freedom. So he has written 4 more books, namely The Autobiography of a Stock, Happiness Unlimited, Dream On, A Father's Diary. So Manoji, welcome here, and thank you again for joining this forum to share your knowledge with wider audience. I'm really grateful that you took out time for everyone and being generous to share your wisdom. So to start with, can you start with your introduction for people who don't know you, and then we'll go deeper into topic of financial freedom.
Yeah, thanks, Vivek. I think it's a great opportunity for me as well to, share my views on financial freedom. From Rat Race to Financial Freedom was my first book. I think that was when I was going through my own journey. Now it has gone through various editions and revisions, but the first version came when I was just about to quit my job. So that was my first book. And then, of course, later on, other books came along. The most recent one being A Father's Diary, which is a book on parenting, and it's very close to my heart again. My introduction, my background, I think I have a similar background to yours. I was an electrical engineer, not satisfied with the career stream I had chosen. At some point of time, around when I had worked around 4-5 years with Larsen & Toubro as an electrical engineer, I decided to switch to IT. That was in the year 99-2000. So that was when IT was its full bloom, before the bubble burst happened.
Yes.
In all that wave of IT, I also did some courses in e-commerce and I moved towards IT. And struggled a lot. When the bubble burst happened, a lot of people struggled. And then somehow I hung on to IT. Then I kind of moved to some small companies which were offering IT jobs at that time in India. Then moved to slightly bigger ones like TCS, and then moved to IBM. So overall, I worked around 20 years before I actually quit my job. And, quitting a job was not that I wanted to do something else to earn money. And the reason was clear. I wanted to quit my job because I had certain dreams which I wanted to fulfill, which was not possible to do while in a job. I had a very successful career in IBM, in IBM itself, which was my last job, I worked for around 11-12 years before I quit, and then a few years in TCS prior to that. So I had a very successful career, but then the only thing, jobs don't give you is time. They give you moderate to good amount of money, especially in IT, but they don't give you is time, and that's something which we start lacking in life, especially once you, let's say, cross 35 or 40, you start realizing time is a big constraint in life.
Yes.
And you need more and more of it because you have a family, you want to spend more time with them, you want to do certain things in life which you love doing. For example, for me, it was nature and trees, and these are the things I loved, and I wanted to spend more time there along with spending time with my family, and I was not getting that time. So I decided that there's going to be a point in time where I'm going to quit a job and going to spend all my time for my family and various other passions that I had, and I wanted to do it before my daughters, they move to college. Because, once they go to college, they're probably going to be out of Delhi, where we stay. And then it's going to be very difficult to be spending time with them, And then they have their own life, their own friend circle and everything. So I want to spend enough time with them before they actually move to college. So that was, you know, the driving force which, you know, made me started think about how to build a plan to get financially free. And that's how, it, you know, the, everything originated. So today, I am financially free for the last 6 years. Have spent all the 6 years with both my daughters. The elder one is now going to go to college. So it's kind of a dream getting realized, you know.
Awesome.
And the younger one is still in 11th standard. So another few years with her. So I'm happy that I've been able to spend that time with them after having quit a job and, you know, earned back time in my life and now spending it with them. And of course, I've been doing various other things which we can talk through.
Yeah, awesome. So what was the time when, you know, that sudden spark came in your mind that, okay, this is enough and now I should actually kickstart and think about my financial freedom? What was that trigger point? What led you to suddenly think about financial freedom?
I think the whole idea of passive income really fascinated me. And I remember a moment, I think I mentioned it in one of my books, I don't know, but I remember a moment when I was looking at the PPF passbook of my elder brother. Mm-hmm. And my elder brother, in fact, is quite elder to me. He's around 15, 16 years elder. So I was looking at his, and I was quite young at that time. I mean, maybe I just started earning, just went into a job at that stage. So I looked at his passbook and I saw that he had earned, that year he had earned around 70 or 80,000 rupees as interest. And that was a big amount, you know, at that time, you know, I'm talking about 25 years back. So you know, I realized, what is this? How can somebody earn an interest income of 80,000 rupees? And my salary when I joined L&T, you know, there was a time, it was around 6,000 rupees. You know, I'm thinking, I earn 6,000 rupees after, you know, slogging for a month. And he's earning 80,000 rupees by doing nothing. You know, and so this, that idea, you know, got kicking into me that there has to be a way to earn money without actively getting involved in it. And I did various things. Not that I straight away went into stock investing or any other investing, but I did various things. I also did a business called as Amway, which, you know, wherein I learned, I mean, they also talked about passive income and, you know, so I got fascinated with that. I tried that for 3 years. I was successful to an extent, but then again, you know, the thing which I was losing there again was time.
Yes.
Because I had to spend a lot of time to earn that income. So I think finally I quit that, but then I learned a lot of things from that about financial freedom, about dreams, about thinking big, you know, those are things which I learned, which I later on applied in my own plan.
I think that
passbook was a trigger moment in my life, which, you know, changed the course of how am I going to live my life for the remaining years.
Great. So I think people who are listening to this podcast, I think he indirectly related to the concept of compounding. And that's what even I keep discussing, right? That even if a small amount you keep aside and you follow that equation, you know, income minus savings is equal to expenses. If you put your savings on and on with a discipline, you know, that will grow and compound multifold. And when you see, you know, after 10 years, you will not imagine that this is the kind of compounding you have achieved. So I think Manoj realized that indirectly from his brother's passbook, but it is the magic of compounding, right? And that creates that kind of, you know, financial freedom, because their money works for you and you don't need to actually spend your time. So in your job, when you are employed or you are self-employed, you are doing for yourself, you are exchanging time for money. And when you are doing business, actually people are working for you, but still you need to get involved in that particular business. But investing or the compounding through money is the powerful concept where you don't actually need to, you know, spend your time. The money is working for you and you are doing what you like, as Manoj is doing right now. Awesome, Manoj. So great message that way. So how was that feeling when you quit your job and, you know, the salary stopped? Was it all planned or, you know, you felt some shock for a couple of months and it was like a new world?
Well, of course, it wasn't a surprise because I don't believe in executing anything without a proper plan. And being in IT and especially into project management,
yes,
I've been used to creating plans and executing them. So I had a financial freedom plan created for me. Mm-hmm. And I knew when I'm going to get financially free or when I'll have enough money deployed at the right places, which can give me enough returns to, you know, take care of my expenses for today and for future. So I had that plan ready and I had shared that with my family as well. But my family never actually thought that I'm going to actually do it.
Okay.
Actually going to quit it. They said, okay, he's doing something related to, you know, investing, and so he'll keep investing money and job will continue like this. And that's what in the mind they had that thought. But I was clear, I'm going to quit it. And suddenly one day I came home and announced that I've put in my papers.
Okay.
So I'm on notice period. So another 1 month I'll be out of my job. And then they got a shock. I was not shocked.
Yes.
But they got a shock. And the next 6 months after I had actually left my job, I think it was a tough period for me because the social acceptance of this concept of financial freedom in India is not very high.
Yes.
And when I say social acceptance, it's not only your close family, it's people around you whom you keep meeting and talking to. They used to tell me, okay, what are you doing? I mean, you've got such a good paying job and such a reputed company. Why do you want to quit? And you keep doing whatever you're doing parallelly. Your children are still growing. They're still in, let's say, third, fourth standard. And you will need money for their education, for their marriages, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So I said, but I've calculated all that. If you want to look, I can show you my calculations.
Okay.
But nobody, of course, wanted to see all those calculations.
Yes.
So those next 6 months was a tough period.
Yep.
And nobody was convinced that we can continue to live our life as a normal life without earning a salary. But I think slowly, after the 6-7 months had passed, at least my close family started realizing that, okay, there's not any change in terms of how we live our life. And we're not earning money, but we're still able to live our life comfortably.
Yes.
So that's when slowly it started sinking into them. And after that, the most beautiful phase of my life started when they realized that, okay, I'm available to them whenever they need me, whether it's the education of my children, if I have to teach them something, drop them to school, any medical emergency, anything. So I'm available.
Yes.
My day's plan is flexible.
Yes.
Okay. The fact that I keep more busy today compared to what I used to be in a job, but I'm doing the things which I love doing.
Yes.
And the option is with me whether I want to do it or not.
Yes.
And I have that flexibility. When do I want to do it? So if I need the next 5 days completely for my family, I can switch off everything and just forget it. So these are the things which they started enjoying and relishing after those first 6 months. And they're so happy and proud today that I quit my job and have been able to spend the last 6 years with them.
Good.
So I think I also feel good about it now.
Great. So I think, again, very good key messages. And, you know, a lot of people during euphoria of bull market, when people are investing in stocks, they feel that, you know, I've earned enough, and they don't take a calculated bet and just quit their job and move full time. But here, there is a very important lesson from Manoj to see here, that he had a proper calculation in place, and he had a financial plan that, okay, this is how I'm going to achieve my journey. And he took a calculated risk, and rather than just, you know, spontaneously, emotionally jumping into something, right? And that is very good thing. And other thing which he beautifully mentioned, and I can very well correlate to it, is when you are becoming financially free, it doesn't mean you don't do anything, you retire. Right. But it is more to free up your time and do what you like. Right. So it's that independence which will enable you to follow your passion and give back to the society in any way which you like. Right. It doesn't mean that you just retire and sit back and relax all the time. Although that is important, and that you can do it, as Manoj rightly said, right, that you can do that pretty much by switching off whatever else you are doing. But simultaneously, it's pretty much possible to spend time on what you love. Excellent, Manoj. That is very, very inspiring. And I'm sure all the people who are listening to this podcast will also, you know, cherish these things, because we all of us have these things in mind when we can spend our time with family, how we can follow our passion. And this is really inspiring to to listen from you. So you have achieved this from a high paying job doing, work in couple of MNCs and a lot of different IT companies. So what is your thought process? Is it just people who are earning high paying job can do this, or anyone can do this? What is your thought on that?
So of course, a high paying job helps. There is no doubt about that. If you're really focused on financial freedom, ultimately what you're looking at in financial freedom is you need to reach a certain amount of corpus, which is big enough to fund your expenses for the rest of your life. Of course, taking care of inflation and other future events and so on and so forth. So a high paying job definitely helps you. But the biggest lever, which I have realized and I'm sure you would appreciate, in creating wealth other than your income, of course, is time itself. The earlier you start, you get an advantage which you cannot replicate by any other means. So I started quite late. I started working towards financial freedom at the age of around 36, 37, where I started working in a job at the age of 22. And I, next 14, 15 years, I never thought about financial freedom. Of course, I was still earning well that time. And I was just spending around money, the way most people do. And at 37, I actually started working on it. And it took me another 6 years to just finish off my journey towards financial freedom. Now, there, the advantage of earning well really helped, because I could save more, I could invest more. But if somebody is starting at the younger age, somebody starting at 22, 23, 24, 25, that kind of age, then even if he or she is not earning well, it doesn't really matter that much. What matters is how much you save and invest rather than how much you earn. I have seen so many people, I interact with a lot of readers, almost on a daily basis. And I have seen so many people who earn so well, but they're still not financially free. And they've been earning for 20 years. And because they're not saving and investing the right way. They may be earning very well.
Yes.
That make you free. Okay. It can only make you have a lot of transactions around money. It can make you spend a lot of money, but that doesn't earn you back time. So, higher salary helps if you're passionate and if you can save more. But the biggest lever, again, I would emphasize, is time. The earlier you start, the better advantage you have. And that's why, even my children, I've tried my best to educate them at this age on how to start saving and investing money. They need not invest in stocks if they're not comfortable, but at least they can invest in simple mutual funds or simple fixed deposits or anything. It's all about saving money and putting it to work for you. That's the whole idea. Yes. Your asset may be earning a little lesser interest, which is fine as long as it is safe and as long as it is at least around the inflation rate. So it's fine. So right. I think time is a very big lever, which most of us underestimate. So I think that advantage is much bigger than the advantage of having a high paying job.
Awesome. Good. So the good message for all the young minds who are listening this podcast is start early. And even if you don't understand, just start with very, very simple products like FD or PPF. It could be anything, but start that compounding machine for yourself so that it takes care for you in future. Right. So just get started. That is the message from Manoj for all the young minds out there. And even if you are late, you can anyway start. He started at 36 and he has reached. So better to start than doing it never in your life, right? So just get started. That is the big message here, right? And again, second thing which he rightly pointed is mindset, right? If you are even earning high salary and you don't have that mindset of saving and you don't spend wisely, it will never happen, right? So you need that mindset to again execute your plan and think towards the direction of financial freedom. If you don't think properly and don't have that mindset, it's not going to happen, right? So irrespective of the salary, if your mindset is right, you might reach later if your salary is slightly low, but you will reach there. That is the message. And I did a second episode on mindset, so you can go and check out the second episode which I recorded for this podcast series, which talks entirely about your mindset towards financial freedom.
Yeah, Vivek, just to add to your point, you know, you very rightly said that even if you're late, you're still there. I was late in my journey. I had a plan, but when I was tracking it, I actually finished my journey around 2 years after what the plan said. So my plan got delayed. But nobody knows that, you know, yes. Nobody bothers. I mean, I am concerned about my financial freedom. I am financially free today. And that's what the entire world looks at it. Yes. Nobody is going to see whether you got 1 year late or 6 months late or 2 years late. Yes. It's important that you get started and get moving, you know.
Yes.
That period of 5 years, 7 years, or whatever it's going to take you to get financially free, that becomes such a beautiful period if your momentum is there. So you've got to get started as early as you can. I mean, that's the key.
Yes.
And stop giving excuses like, oh, today I have a stressful job, I cannot start. And a lot of people have various other excuses that we have a corona situation, we have this, that. I mean, the point is, you're doing it for yourself and your family. You got to just spend 10 minutes a day on this. Not more than that is needed, actually, if you ask me, if you're doing it every day.
Yes.
And people say that I don't even have 10 minutes. I mean, my job is such. Okay, then you got to wake up 10 minutes early. I mean, that's...
Yes.
I mean, I wrote 3 of my books while I was in a job. Okay. And I used to wake up at 4:30 every day. And 4:30 to 6 was my writing time. And after that, my day started getting ready for office, you know, leaving children to school and X, Y, Z and so on. So you got to find out time for yourself. Okay, so that's very, very important for younger generation to understand.
Yes.
That it's if it's important for you, you got to find time.
Yes. Don't fool yourself.
Yeah. Correct.
Just don't give excuses which you cannot digest yourself. Just get started and take actions, right? Awesome. So can you tell us about how did you prepare your plan? What was like key levers of your plan? Just the pointers, if you can just guide the people who want to actually prepare their own plan. And I think in your book, it's detailed guidance. So I would recommend again for people who want to go through, you know, he has his own book, From Rat Race to Financial Freedom. I'll share the link below the post. But he has created like so many pages just working around financial plan. So over to you, Manoj, if you can brief us about.
Yeah, so effectively, there are 7 steps in that entire plan that I have. And I would just quickly touch upon those points. And the first step talks about understanding the cash flow, you know. So when I say cash flow, what am I earning today? What am I spending today? So what I can potentially save and invest. That's the first step. Okay. The second step is about understanding the current investments and liabilities. So what are my current assets? So where am I invested today? How much is invested where? What are the returns I'm getting? And what are my liabilities? What I'm supposed to pay back to whichever bank or whatever. The third step is about going into the future and trying to understand what are my future expenses likely to be other than my regular family expenses that, you know, we established in step number 1, cash flow. What are the other major expenses that are going to come? For example, marriage of my children or their higher education or something which I want to, some business venture I want to open up or some international trips I want to take specifically. So these are some special events in my life which I definitely want to do, which are not covered in my regular expenses. Okay, so we talk about in that in step 3. And then we build up a plan in terms of in step 4, we come up with a plan with a monthly target based on all the previous data and then start tracking it. Step 5 is about connecting your assets with your events, which basically means, okay, I have a marriage of my daughter coming up after 5 years. So what are the assets which are going to fund that marriage event? Okay, so we have a kind of a matrix which takes care of that. Then step 6 is about understanding the risk profile of yourself. So what's my risk taking capacity? What's my risk taking tolerance? How do I perceive risk and so on? So there's a questionnaire which helps us answer that. And step 7 is about all our investments that we're doing, how are they performing? So monitoring their performance and regularly tuning them once in 6 months or once in a year to make sure that money is rightly deployed and earning whatever it's supposed to earn. So these are the basic 7 steps. And in fact, for the last 1.5 years, we've been running a program called as an elite program, wherein you know, I coach people on these 7 steps, and there's a website which people can visit, which is my official website, and they can go in and start tracking their own journey using that website. There are no charges for, you know, registering and tracking their own journey. But of course, in this elite program, I personally coach people on how to track, you know, their own journey. And I, in fact, review their journey regularly. Every month, I keep reviewing their journey and making sure they stay on track. So it's a very comprehensive and scientific way to find out how much money do you need for financial freedom. In fact, this is one of the biggest questions people have in mind.
Yes.
Okay. How much money do I need for financial freedom?
Yes.
Because everybody's life situation is different. Everybody's family situation is different. So how much money does one person need, and how much time it's going to get, how much time it's going to take to get there?
Yes.
So I may be today at, let's say I have a total net worth of 2 crores. I may need a total of 3 crores to get financially free. So I need another 1 crore. So how am I going to get there? And how should I deploy that 3 crores? You know?
Yes.
So that entire scientific mechanism to calculate, track month by month, making sure you stay on track, that entire thing is available on the website. And I do it personally in this elite program, which people can apply for through the website, or they can send in an email to me. And but of course, I cannot take everybody in. And I usually take around 5 to 6 people every 4 months. Okay, so the website, I mean, the registrations for this program opens up thrice in a year. And so I take 7-8 people every time so that I can personally be involved and mentor them. I can't take more than that. So I think that's a very interesting aspect which people are really appreciating, that I personally coach them in terms of getting financially free. But with the only commitment that they will go on and serve the society.
Execute it. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, because... taking them to freedom is what I can do, but after they have achieved freedom, I expect them that they will go on and serve the society in some way, so that we all can elevate each other's lives. So that's the whole idea.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And I truly echo this point. And you know, the reason why we are doing podcasts is again the same. You know, giving back to society and inspiring people to achieve their financial freedom. And I'll share your website link also on the webpage. And guys, if you are interested, you can anyways track your situation and manage your plan free of cost, as Manoj said. And if you are interested, you can join his elite program as well. And, you know, get benefited from whatever he has gained in his journey and get yourself financially free. So awesome, Manoj, that's very nice to hear. And I like this concept of, you know, giving back, because, you know, money is always a byproduct. If we are creating value for the society and giving back to them and solving their problems, I think money will automatically flow. So that is never an issue. And if you are achieving financial freedom, after that, you don't need to worry much about it. Anyways, the cash flow should come, but that is always, you know, byproduct of doing something good for the society.
Yeah.
Awesome. So now you talked about your, you know, working out the plan. Now my question, you know, is what is the backup plan if things don't work out, right? So you've prepared your plan, you know, things are in place, you've deployed your assets, and you know that markets are dynamic. Even the fixed income market is dynamic. World is dynamic. Things change very fast. Inflation suddenly can spike. A lot of things can happen, right? So what is the kind of backup plan you think, or you, you know, educate your, you know, people who are listening from you? How do you help them create this kind of backup plan situation, that if things don't work out after you have achieved your financial freedom, what to do?
Yeah. So there are two aspects to it. One is, while we're creating the plan, we create a lot of buffers within the plan, assuming that things may not always work out the way we want. And as you rightly said, and life is like that only. I mean, it will never actually go the way you want.
Perfect.
And
yes.
It will always give you surprises.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll always surprise you. And that's the beauty of life, I believe. And the only thing which we got to be careful is creating enough buffers in our plan at various stages. And these buffers do help. I mean, today, if you see, the situation is, there was a time a few months back when the markets were down, interest rates are coming down. So any kind of investment you do, you were going into a loss. So I think those buffers really help us, and that's a part of the entire 7-step planning that we do, wherein we create a lot of buffers which help us in such times. That is point number one, that is putting in buffers in the planning stage itself. Second thing which I would always recommend people to follow is you got to have a very strong reason to get financially free. You know, if you're saying that you want to quit your job and start a business, I would not really actually call it as financial freedom. My definition of financial freedom is that you want to have enough money to take care of your expenses and then work on your passion. Okay, and that passion, how do we define passion? Passion is something for which you are fine to do it even without money. Okay, so that's my definition of passion. And it could be anything. For me, it was writing books. For me, it was working on my tree plantation stuff, for which I opened an NGO later on. And it could be anything else for anybody else. And it is your passion which can be later on converted to your profession. Because ultimately, if you give your passion enough time, it is your skill in that passion area is going to get enhanced like anything. Yes. And there will be a time when you will get enough ideas to convert that passion into a profession. Yes. And like for me, I can tell you my experiences. So, for example, the books, that's one area of my passion which I have slowly converted into some kind of a profession in the sense that I had started earning out of it. Second area is tree plantation. Not that we earn out of it because we work it through an NGO. But there are a lot of areas which I am thinking of now. For example, vegetable gardening is one area which I am very close to, and I have a vegetable garden in my house. And I am thinking of how to, you know, make it available to other people as well. How can I go and set up vegetable gardens in people who have terraces or people who have balconies? Okay, so those are, see, it automatically you'll find a way. Once yes, your yes. passion is clear, once you're working on it, you'll become good at it. You'll find ways to convert yes. it to a profession.
Yes. Yes.
So the first thing which I ask people who want to say that they are interested in freedom, I want to ask them, okay, what do you want to do after financial freedom?
Yes.
If you're going to just say that I'm going to sit idle at home, no, that's not what's going to work out in the long run.
Yes.
So there has to be a clear area which is driving them towards financial freedom. So that area is where you're going to find your profession. And that area is also going to help you go through this journey of financial freedom pretty fast, because there's a pull force which is, you know, pulling you towards yourself.
Yes.
So I think that becomes a very, very important factor. So two strategies. One, build in strategies within your plan, enough buffers. And second, focus on your passion areas and convert one of them into your profession.
Awesome. That's again very, very enlightening for, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure, who is listening this. Because, you know, unless you don't have any, you know, any other area where you are going to contribute to the society, you will, even if you achieve your financial freedom, probably you'll get bored and, you know, you'll think like, what I'm doing in this world. And even socially, as Manoj was saying, in India, at least, it is not that kind of acceptable profile if you are not doing something worthwhile, right? And I can truly, you know, relate to it. And I spoke about Ikigai concept in the second mindset podcast, where, you know, we talked about creating your passion, profession, and mission. If all the three things become same, that is where you will create that real power when you are working, but you will not feel like working. And I think when Manoj is writing book, I can feel that he might be sensing that Ikigai moment, right? When yeah. he doesn't feel like working, but still, you know, it is his like profession. And then he is simultaneously on the mission to elevate other people in their journey. So I think all the three are combining in this space. And
yeah, I mean, as I moment. Probably told you earlier, when I was in a job, I was working 14 hours or so in a day. And today, I probably work 16 hours a day. Yes. But the difference is that I don't feel that I'm working 16 hours a day. I mean, it just yes. feels so good. Everything is so good and beautiful and nice. That's the only difference.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. So you need to follow your passion and excel in that. And if you like something, you know, as Manoj said, you will excel much more in that area versus, you know, anything which you don't like to do, right? So here you will get higher, you know, excellence peaks, and you will be able to, you know, scale up much higher.
Yeah, just one point, Vivek, I want to emphasize. People are, when I interact with a lot of people, so people are confused in how do I know that this particular thing is my passion? And as I told earlier, the only definition is you are willing to work on it without getting paid.
Yes.
So a lot of people tell me that, okay, job is my passion. Okay, will you work on it if your salary stops? How long will you work on it? If it's lifetime, you can work on it. Yes, it is your passion. If not, you got to find your passion.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. So can you run us through your process of, you know, how you got that inspiration to write the books? Because I love to write book. I'm not somehow getting that time zone. Probably I'll take more guidance from you offline as well. But, you know, if somebody is wanting to create that kind of you know, things like say website, want to write articles or want to write a book or want to create music, I think it all flows in similar lines. So how did you start and what kind of motivation does it require and what kind of discipline does it require to do something like this?
Be a good writer, one thing which I've understood is you got to be a very good reader. Okay. If you want to write one book a year, you go to read around 50 books a year. You may feel that, okay, reading 50 books a year will take all your time. When will you get time to write? It's not like that. You get that energy to write when you read good books. Okay, so I think it's one of the key principles in any field, not only writing and things.
Yes.
So if you go to be a good music player, you go to listen to very good music first. Okay, so it goes the same way with most of the fields. So I think the key, in fact, the motivation to write came only after I had read a lot of books. So I read a lot on financial freedom. In fact, I remember those times we were in US that time through IBM only. We had gone for a project, our entire family had gone, and we were there for a few years. And I used to get a good time in US at least. I mean, the quality of life there is slightly better than what it is in India. So I used to read like mad. I mean, I used to read maybe a book a day, kind of, probably. So, I mean, after having read so much, I mean, it was an automatic kind of an inner feel that I should write something now. Yes. And of course, you got to have that discipline and you got to, you know, manage your time well and starting up early in the morning and whatever. So, I think it's very, very important whichever field you want to work in or you want to excel in, you want to understand about that field a lot. So, if you want to write a lot, you want to read a lot. If you want to sing, you want to hear a lot of music and so on and so forth.
Awesome. Awesome. That's nice to hear, Manoj. So, on your book I was reading, I got a point around you lost faith on delayed gratification and then again came back on that track. What was that around, like your concept and thoughts around delayed gratification, and how did you, you know, fight your brain with those thoughts and how did you conquer ultimately?
Actually, it's very easy to lose faith unless you've seen the bigger picture, you know. I mean, compounding is something which even a 10th standard person knows. You know,
yes.
Everybody knows the formula. You ask anybody from 10th standard, they know how to calculate compound interest. They know that compound interest is more powerful than simple interest. Everybody understands all that. But there are hardly any people who appreciate and realize the power of compounding. Even if you keep telling them.
Yes.
They will not. So, as I told you, one of my moments was that passbook, you know, a sudden realization came. So, there are moments in life when that magic of compounding hits you. You know, so if that hits you, you will appreciate and work towards it and have faith in it and keep moving towards it. But if it doesn't hit you, those moments don't come and you have to be lucky to, you know, for those moments to come. If it doesn't hit you, then people will keep telling you, you'll keep reading about it, you will understand, okay, yes, it is powerful. But after 2 years, you realize, okay, you have saved so much, you have constrained your expenses, your 5 years have gone, money's growing but not big enough, and I'm, you know, restricting myself, there's a new mobile I can buy, there's a new car I can buy. So you will always be tempted to, you know, come out of it. I have to live my life also. Those thoughts start coming to you. So it's only when you've seen the bigger picture, those magic moments have hit you sometime, only then will you be passionate enough to, you know, keep constraining yourself till a point when the magic actually starts to unfold. So I think for a younger generation, it is a difficult concept to appreciate. It's very easy to understand, but difficult to appreciate. There are only two things which I feel can help you appreciate it. One is your luck. And second is your dream. Okay, if you have a very strong dream, you will have faith and you will believe in it and you will move ahead and you will get the rewards. But if your dream is not strong enough, then you will give it up on the way. As I said, I coach people on financial freedom. So there are a lot of people who, you know, quit the race. Quit this journey of financial freedom in between. Not that they cannot get financially free, but they quit because they feel that it's too long or it's, you know, it's taking too much time or money is not really growing the way they want it to grow. So that's because their dreams are not strong enough. You know, you've got to make that strong to really appreciate these things.
And in your book, you know, again and again, I see this concept of dreams, you know, to activate your dream and you visualize that, you know, I'll become like this. So can you just go deeper into it? How somebody who is just starting towards the journey of financial freedom, how should they take these concept of dreams?
So I have a different entire book on dreams, by the way.
Dreams on, right? That is okay.
Now, there's only one concept which I want you to understand, which I want the readers or the listeners to understand about dreams. Why is it so important? See, there are two forces which are going to pull you to in this journey. The journey is very boring, you know, financial freedom journey. Unless you have a very strong passion or a dream, which, you know, which is keeping it attractive for you. Because what you have to do every month, you have to keep saving, keep investing, keep saving. Every month you have to do that for many years, you know, so it becomes boring for some people. So there are two forces which are going to pull you in this journey. One is something you hate. Okay. Something you don't enjoy. For example, I was not really enjoying my job. And I used to think why people would continue to do a job for 40 years, 30 years and, you know, not spend time with their families. People feel some of the incidents which I've quoted in the book also is people would spend so much time in the jobs and people would make statements like, okay, I had a death in my close family, but I came on to my job because I had an important project and so on. I used to wonder, I mean, what are they earning for? You know, so I used to wonder those things. So I didn't really like the atmosphere of a job, as not against any company or anything, but just the overall atmosphere of a job. So that's something which I didn't like. You know, that job I felt was taking away time from my family. So that's one force which you don't like. So that you repel from that thing. The other is something which pulls you. Okay. And which would be your dream. So I used to think, okay, I'm going to work on tree plantation if I quit my job. I'm going to spend a lot of time with my kids. Help them understand mathematics and science and everything once I quit my job. I'm going to take care of my parents once I quit my job. So I used to always have that dream within me which used to pull me also. So when these two forces work together, that's when the synergy is created. You know, that's when your journey becomes exciting, becomes fast, and you will not know when you finish this journey quickly. So I think dreams play a very, very vital role. They are the second force which is going to take you to the journey. You get repelled from something and you get attracted towards something. And then both these things work together. That's when the magic is.
Awesome. Awesome. That is really, really inspiring. I think the pull force and the push force, both the force should work in your favor. And that is where you will get that force which will take out from the gravity of your job or anything which you don't like and give you into that zone of, you know, space of financial freedom, I would say, if you imagine about it. Awesome. So I think last point which I wanted to discuss was around diversification, because you keep a lot of emphasis on diversification of assets when you wrote this book. And there are several chapters on each of the different asset classes where you can invest in, and you have gone in depth about it. So why and how diversification is important when you are into this journey of financial freedom? And actually after that, probably why it is very much important.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things which most people know is that, of course, diversification reduces risk. There are a lot of people who have this notion that if you want to get financially free, you got to be investing mostly into stock market or equity market.
Yes.
I totally disagree with that notion. Whether a person needs, who is about on the journey towards financial freedom, needs to invest in stock market or equity market even, or not, or how much he needs to invest, depends on his or her financial factors, risk profile, his need for money, liquidity needs, etc., etc. But that you cannot get financially free without equity investment is a notion which I don't agree with. Okay, there are people who are in our program who don't even invest 1% into equity because they are probably at an age where they don't need to. And they don't have any such future events lined up. Their risk profile tells me that they don't have the capacity or the mental tolerance to take that risk. Because the moment the market, it's a volatile market, so the moment it goes down, they take irrational decisions. So I would never ever tell them to go and invest in stock market. Again, then there are certain category of readers who invest only 20% into equity, rest 80% into either debt-based investments or other investments. So there are all kinds of people. There is no right or wrong investment. Yes. So there has to be a balance of investments depending on your situation. Yes. When you say right or wrong investment, the investment can be right or wrong for you, but there is no generic right or wrong investment.
Yes.
Okay. So there has to be a balance. Balance will help you. Balance is created or designed or a strategy is created based on your financial situation, you would always be comfortable in that balance. And that will help you stroll through various times in the market and various phases when sometimes gold is at a high, sometimes stock market is at a high, sometimes FDs are good. So once you have that balance and a proper investing strategy created based on your financial inputs, then you will always be comfortable in that journey. Otherwise, you will take irrational decisions and honestly, you will lose your wealth.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that, because a lot of people, as you rightly said, have that notion that only 100% being in equity can, fasten you. But I think if you have good diversification, as you rightly said, you can hedge your position. Sometimes one asset class is higher, sometime other, and you don't get knee-jerk moments when you feel like, okay, market is down 50%, now what should I do? And then that moment we tend to take emotional decisions, we panic we sell out everything, and that is probably the most worst time to exit, probably when it just starts going up after that.
So I think one point which I want to tell here is it's not the markets which decide how much equity we should be getting into. I think that's again because some people feel that the markets are going up, let's say for the last 6 months they're consistently going up, then they would feel, okay, we must get into the market or we must increase our percentage allocation into the market. The markets should not decide what should be your investing strategy.
Yes.
Your financial situation should decide what should be your investing strategy. I think that's a very, very common mistake people do. Your risk-taking capacity, your liquidity needs, your family needs, these should decide where you should be investing.
Yes.
Rather than where the market is, or gold is today earning very well, so let's go and invest in gold. No, not that way. Okay? You got to look at yourself, not outside.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think risk is something should come first, and your personal profile, your mindset to bear those kind of jerks is more important, as Manoj rightly said. And he has just given pointers. If you want to exactly do any kind of this planning, you can get in touch with your financial advisor. He's just guiding and giving broad pointers, but you should have a plan in place and a proper, you know, methodology to this madness. Otherwise, you'll get lost in this entire asset deployment process. Absolutely. So Manoj, one last thing before we close this podcast edition is, what is your last one, that one key message which you want to give to all the podcast listeners, just something which is very, very special, which you want to share with all the audience?
I think I would give two messages rather than one, and they're related. First is, start early, because that's where people tend to lose out. They delay the entire, you know, thing of planning and tracking their financial freedom journey. So starting early, time is the biggest lever to wealth creation. So starting early is very, very vital. Second, start. Now, there's another big problem that people don't start it at all. Forget about early. People have excuses like, okay, now I'm already 15 years late, whether it makes sense to start now. So you have to start. You can't look back at life. You have to only look forward. And I remember an incident. I don't know, most people may remember it, about Milkha Singh, how he lost that Olympic race from third position to fourth position. If you read or if you watched that movie or if you read his biography, then you would realize that the only reason he lost by that fraction of a second was that he started looking back, or he started looking for who is coming at the fourth position. And that was the moment he lost the speed, and that was the moment which led to his losing the medal. So you can't look back at life. It's going to only slow you down. You're going to look forward. Even if you're 40 years, 45 years, 50 years, how does it matter? You're going to look forward and move on and get started. There are people, even at the age of 55, who have started their financial freedom journey. You know, it's not about reaching 58 and retirement age is coming. So what am I going to do in 3 years? No, it's not that. You're going to live till 70, 80. So it's a long life still. And you're going to manage your finances well. Even if you start at 55, it is fine. Because whatever is the age doesn't matter. What matters is how you take your life from now on. So starting, that's one message. At whatever age you are, and then starting early is, of course, nothing better than that.
Awesome, awesome. That's great message. So all the young minds out there, start early, just get started. And for people who have just missed that bus, don't worry. You just need to get started. Just get started. Don't procrastinate. And
yeah,
just
there's a lot of
actions.
Buses coming. So
you a lot of buses out
bus.
There. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Manoj. It was very, very nice interacting with you. And thank you for spending time for all the audience who is listening out to this podcast, and really grateful on their behalf for inspiring them and, you know, motivating them to get them started for this journey towards financial freedom. We will try to have you again sometime soon. And till then, goodbye. And thank you again for being here. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vivek. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Take care.
To everyone, thank you for listening, and stay tuned and bookmark this channel. And thank you again for your support. We'll see you in the next podcast session. Until then, goodbye.